So now we're about to start with our first talk of the day from Mr. Samuel Cabrero with his topic of one DCE/RPC server to rule them all. Fun, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Samuel. I'm part of the SUSE Labs Samba team. And maybe it's a bit early in the morning to talk about DCE RPC servers, but I'm here to present you a proposal to merge the Samba 3 and Samba 4 DCE RPC servers to finally have one DCE RPC server to serve them all, because there are two implementations right now. But what DCE RPC is? DCE stands for Distributed Computing Environment, and it's a framework and a toolkit to develop client-server applications that was developed by the Open Software Foundation in the early 1990s by the contributions of different software companies, and DCE RPC is part of this framework. The RPC, remote procedure calls, define the infrastructure to call a function on a remote server, where remote is connected over different kind of sockets that can be named pipes, TCP/IP, but can be also HTTP, or there are other transport based on UDP, IPX. And it's also important to know that Microsoft extended the original specification, and these extensions are documented in MSRPCE. And how DCRPC works? Well, when a client wants to make an RPC call, the call has to traverse five different layers. So we have the client application, that is the application which is making the call. And to make the call, calls a local function that is in the client stack. This client stack, what does is to marshal the data. It prepares the data for network transmission and delivers to the RPC runtime, which sends the request to the server. The RPC runtime in the server receives the request and deliver to the server stub and marshal the data, and the server stub call the server application and then sends back the response to the client. Actually, these stubs are auto-generated from an IDL file using an IDL compiler. And in the case of Samba, this IDL compiler is called IDL. It's in the Samba source tree and is written in Perl. So this is how an IDL file looks like. We have here the IDL file for the ECO interface, and we can see that it has a header which contains the UUID, the universal identifier of the interface used by the client's tool to ask for this interface to the server. We have the endpoints, the version, and it has a body where it has the function definitions, and it also contains the data structures that are used as arguments in the RPC calls. So, as we said, to make a call, a client invokes a function in the client stub. The client stub converts local application data into network data, it's called marshaling, and asks the runtime to send the packets. Here, for example, we can see the stub the client will call, and it matches this call defined in the IDL. In the IDL, the IDL also contains the endpoints. That the endpoints are where the server offers the interface to the client, and can be a TCP port or a SMB named pipe. And each endpoint can offer several interfaces to the client. For example, the NetLogon SMB named pipe serves the NetLogon interface but also the LSA interface. So when a client connects to an endpoint, it has to bind to a specific interface. And interface is another way to call to the RPC, the provided RPC service. And also another thing to introduce is the endpoint mapper, that because the endpoints can be dynamically allocated by the server. For example, for TCP transport, the ports can be dynamically allocated. So the clients needs a way to locate the specific endpoint. So and they do that asking the endpoint mapper for the endpoint's information. So they ask for an interface UUID, and the server answers where is the endpoint. But how Samba ended with two server implementations? Well, we have to go back to 2003, where Samba 3.0 was released. At that point, Samba only implemented what was strictly necessary by Windows clients. All the Marshalling code and unmarshalling code was handwritten, but at the same time, Samba 4.0 development started. And 3 years later, the first technology preview was published with a new DCRPC server. But why was necessary to develop a new DCRPC server? It was because newer services require asynchronous processing, like Witness Service Protocol or file server replication. So the Samba 4 DCRPC server was designed asynchronous from the beginning. And it also runs in single process because it's necessary for association groups. That is a feature like multi-channel in SMB. Like a client can open to connect different connections, and the handle's namespace has to be common. And it's much more feature complete than the Samba 3 one. If we continue the journey, we can see how both implementations has been developed in parallel over the years. So the current status is that we have two implementations, the Samba 3.1, that even worse, it runs two different processing loops depending on the transport. It's synchronous, and the services can run embedded into the SMBD process or externally, where it forks daemons to run services externally. And we have the Samba 4 server implementation, that which is asynchronous and runs in single process. And this sentence is from a presentation in 2014 from Metzger, setting the goal to merge both implementations. So this is what I would like to present you, the proposal. So the proposal, without getting into the details, is to extract the core from the Samba 4 server implementations, move it to a library, and modify the Samba 3 implementation, the Samba 3 initialization code, and the connection handling, and to generate a new set of server stubs that are compatible with the Samba 4 server implementation, but are able to dispatch calls and calls the Samba 3 service implementations. And let's see how to do it. If we have a look at how Samba 3 server initializes, the first thing that it does in main is fork the endpoint mapper daemon. So main calls start APMD. Here we fork a child. And this child calls RPC EP mapper init. And this call is defined in the server stub, it's auto-generated. What this function does is to register what is called the API struct, that is a struct that is also generated, and it is the interface. It registers the interface into the RPC subsystem. And after that, it open the sockets. Next thing is to initialize the embedded services following the same pattern. It calls RPC setup service for each service in the server, for example, RPC setup WinReg or RPC setup event log. And this function checks if the service is embedded. If they are not embedded, that does nothing, and otherwise registers the interface in the RPC subsystem. And after that, load and set up the RPC modules. And next, Samba 3 forks external daemons to run some services externally if enabled in the config file. We can have the LSASD daemon that offers the netlogon, LSA, and some air services, the spulsd for network printing, FSSD for volume shadow copies, and MDSSD, the metadata share service for spotlight. All of them follow the same pattern. These daemons are only forked if enabled in the config file. Otherwise, these services will run in embedded mode. If we have a look at the Samba 4 server initialization, it's much cleaner because in Samba 4, the server runs as a server task. So the task initialization, what does is to load the RPC modules and call the module initialization function. This module initialization function registers a data structure that is called the endpoint mapper server into the RPC subsystem. And after that, reinitialize the server context. And the server context initialization initializes all the endpoint servers that are enabled in SMB.com. And this endpoint server initialization, what does is to check the endpoints descriptions of the service, create the endpoint into the server context if it does not exist yet, and register the interface in the endpoint. And after that, initialize all the registered endpoints in the server context by creating the socket. So the proposal for the initialization in Samba 3 is to fork the endpoint mapper daemon, register the endpoint mapper endpoint server in there, initialize a server context, initialize the endpoint mapper endpoint server by this will create the endpoint and register the interface there, then initialize the endpoints, and continue initializing the embedded services, but this time for each embedded service, then register the endpoint server, load and set up the RPC modules. The setup function of the RPC module will register the endpoint server, then initialize the server context, but initialize all registered endpoint servers. And at this point, the registered endpoint server will be the endpoint server for services that has to run in embedded mode. And after that, well, initialize the server context and initialize all the registered endpoints, and the initialization function of each endpoint server will create the endpoint and register the interface in the endpoint. This initialization function of the endpoint server is auto-generated too. And a particular thing of the Samba 3 server is that it only registers SMB pipes transport for embedded services. So this new set of auto-generated server stubs will check if the service is running in embedded mode to register only SMB pipe transport in embedded services. And after that, create the sockets, initialize all the registered endpoints in the server context. And if the transport is SMB named pipes, then check if registration in endpoint mapper is enabled in the config file and register in the endpoint mapper. And finally, initialize external daemons by forking the child, registering only the specific services for each external daemon. For example, in the LSS daemon, we'll on the LSAS daemon only register some R, netlogon, and LSA. Initialize the server contents and initialize only this the specific endpoint servers in the daemons. And initialize the endpoints, creating the sockets, and so on. Talking about the context initialization, there is a new argument in the context initialization function, because there are some functions whose implementations differ in Samba 3 and Samba 4. For example, ginsec prepare, because ginsec has to load different modules in Samba 3 and Samba 4. So the core of the DCRPC server will call these functions through these new function pointers in this struct that is passed as argument in the context initialization. And the connection handles has to be modified too. In Samba 3, we have this set of functions to set up the sockets for each transport. Each function set up a listener callback. The listener function accept the connection in the socket. And all of these listener functions call the same function to initialize the internal structures necessary by the RPC server. And this function is called DCRPC NCAsync accept. The idea is that this accept function has to initialize the Samba 3 data structures, because they are necessary by the Samba 3 services implementation, but also initialize the Samba 4 structures that are necessary by the server, by the Samba 4 server core. So it initializes the DCRPC NCACN con, the pipes extrude, but it also initializes now the DCSRV connection and hides the Samba 3 data structures in a private data pointer in the transport of the DCSRV connection. And after doing that, it starts the processing loop by calling a new function in the DCRPC core library, that is this one, DCSRV connection loop start, passing the DCSRV connection as argument. And from this point on, the processing loop is common to Samba 3 and Samba 4, except some functions, the core calls through the new callback struct to call different implementations in Samba 3 and Samba 4. And after that, we have to write a new PIDL module to generate code compatible with the Samba 3 services implementations. This new module for the PIDL compiler is based in the Samba 4 one, but it performs additional operations. For example, in the endpoint initialization, it checks if the service is embedded or not to register only NCA SMB named pipes transport. It also, in the bind operations, it retrieves the pipes extrude from the DCSRV connection to initialize the Samba 3 handles implementation, and also create the context connection by creating the pipe RPC functions context. And when it has to dispatch a call, it retrieves the pipes struct from the DCSRV connection, updates the state of the Samba 3 data structure with the state of the DCSRV call state info, become the authenticated pipe user, and then call the Samba 3 service implementation. And after that, it becomes the authenticated pipe user. And I will also talk about internal RPC dispatching that is implemented in the RPC int binding handle, because this caused me some headaches, because this RPC binding handle, what does is it's like a shortcut to allow one service to call another one in the same server. So this RPC binding handle, what does is to dispatch the call directly through the API, the API struct, crafting a pipes struct. So to continue doing this, the endpoint server initialization has to register the API struct too. So that prevents to drop the API struct, but also the Samba 3 generated server stubs. So in the end, thinking about it, I ended with a second approach that was to add a local dispatch function to the new PDEL module. So the idea is that the RPC int binding handle implementation gets the endpoint server using the NDR table name. After that, queries the endpoint server for the interface by using the syntax ID in the NDR table. After that, we have once we have the pointer to the DC to the service interface, we craft the pipe struct and dispatch the call, calling the new local method in the interface, passing the pipes struct, the operation number, and the data. And this local dispatching, what does is marshal, dispatch, then replay, and marshal again. So in the summary is the plan is to prepare the Samba 3 and Samba 4 code bases, then write the PDEL, the compact server new PDEL module to drop the Samba 3 loop. In a third step, add the local dispatching to compact server and drop the API struct and the Samba 3 generated server stubs. And in the future, in a fourth step, we can share as many service implementations as possible. For example, the eco service or the endpoint mapper, and step by step replace, or sorry, rewrite the service implementation to use the Samba 4 auto-generated server stubs, and this can be done service by service with time, and to finally drop the pipes struct and the Samba 3 handles implementation. And what's done is steps 1, 2, and 3. The first branch is the preparation for the Samba 3 server code that is here. And the objective of this branch was to simplify as much as possible the Samba 3 server by unifying the processing loops and unifying internal structures, for example, named pipe client and DC, RPC, NCAC, and CON. There are 45 patches, or we are in process of reviewing it. And it contains function renaming, minor fixes, unifies the processing loop. The second branch is the preparation for the Samba 4 source code. And the objective is to extract the core of the server and move it to a library, and also hide the Samba 4 specific structs from the core of the DCRPC server. For example, the e-messaging context and the server ID, hiding into the transport private data. Then it also creates the new callbacks struct and move the code and split the context initialization to be able to initialize only a specific endpoint server. And this is used, for example, in external daemons in the Samba 3 code, for example, in LSAES daemon, to initialize only a subset of endpoint servers. And finally, the merge is in this branch. It adds the new compact server PDL module. It refactors the initialization, the connection handle, switches to the core server loops, removes the Samba 3 loop, and splits the route protocol test suite to strip out the test that requires Kerberos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Instead of splitting the Kerberos test from the route protocol test suite, it's a better idea to run against another environment. So, yes, of sure, we can change it. And it also adds the local dispatching and finally drop the API struct and the Samba 3 generated stubs. And as an example, it shares the ECO implementation, moving it to the shared library. And this time the sleep call in the ECO interface is really async and not just a sleep call in the Samba 3 implementation. Okay, this is the raw protocol tests are passing against NT4 DC. What remains to be done? Think about what to do with the Samba 3 process model, because association groups require a single process, and we have daemons that are forked. Some of these daemons also implement pre-forking, that it forks a lot of some childs, and these childs raise on accept. So in the end, a client can end in two different processes for the same service. So association groups does not work. And what I solve this just by limiting the number of pre-forked childs to one. We have to finally drop the pipes struct and the Samba 3 handles implementation, but this can be done until all the Samba 3 services have been refactored or rewritten to use the Samba for server stub and the handles implementations. But this can be done service by service with the time and share service implementation when possible. Okay, and that's it.
So will your this sort of stub, the extra stub mechanism that you're building, will that make I've noticed the new printing server has, you've probably come across it as you've been looking at your code. We've got two protocols, spool assess, the old one, and a new print server, and almost all the functions are mapped over between these two protocols. There. Will this allow that to be done a bit more cleanly? Because the current method involves someone's run the PIDL generated code once, check that code into the tree, and then there's a pile of functions that don't get used. It's quite messy. I showed it up because I was looking for unused code. And will this make that easier to do in a clean way?
In the end, it does the same. I just updated I generated the code for the iRemote spool, but update the auto. The code is auto-generated, but after that, I copied that code to the specific service implementation, so it works at the same as was working before.
Okay, will it be easier to? Will this enable a better solution for WinSpool?
I don't see how can improve the new set of stubs can improve that.
Okay.
In the end, it's a new. It's a different. The auto-generated code is different, but the approach is the same.
Okay. How much code ended up being removed?
Well, not many. I expect it was going to be more. In the first branch, there is more code removed than added. Mm. This is just the preparation, where I think, guess it's because there is only one processing loop. In the second branch, they are almost the same, because it's just moves code. And here, well, almost 1,000 lines removed.
So we've...
But also the Samba 3 server stubs are no longer generated.
Mm. It just seems like a lot of... I was hoping we would have more consolidation like that for the price of the churn that we're paying.
With that, sorry?
Well, we pay a price for churn. There's, you know, every time we change code, there's risks. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen more code actually able to be to be put aside. I'm also concerned that sometimes the differences between the two systems aren't as intentional as they look. Like, I notice you've got the log successful authorization as a function pointer with all the infrastructure around that. We should look at whether that's actually required, or whether because the idea was to be doing very similar things in both cases.
I don't remember exactly now why this function is separated. I think it's because the IMessaging context that is used in the Samba 4 implementation. I think it's because of that, but I don't remember the exact reason. But there are only two functions that are different in Samba 3 and Samba 4, the gene seek start and this login function. That can be fixed, sure, but at that moment it was easier to just add.
Approach is to do it where you maintain no behavior change, then come back later and say, actually, this should not have been different. We can fix that. It's impressive to get this merge. Merge work is tiresome, thankless, and risky. So I congratulate you on giving it a go.
Thank you.
And it's something that is very much needed for the future of the project. Mm-hmm. Having two implementations of everything is a big drain. When we've had the security kind of things, we've seen the cost of maintaining and pushing all this work through both stacks. So I want to thank you very much for what you've done on this, and look forward to continuing to work through the reviews so that we can try and get it in safely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And the idea, the reason behind all this was because it was required by newer services. So it's necessary to implement the witness service protocol. So CTDB runs SMBD, and SMBD does not have an asynchronous RPC server.
Mm. Do you see any room for unification of some of the setup areas? The S3 setup's verbose. There's a massive amount of boilerplate code there.
You mean the initialization of the server?
Yeah.
Yes, but to do that, I think it would be interesting to share the stream context that Samba 4 uses. Doing that, we may be able to unify some initialization, but the stream context is a stopper for doing that. Okay. Because all this, it's the socket creation, the endpoint initialization depends on that in Samba 4, in the Samba 4 implementation. Or the Samba 4, the end in the files in the Samba 3 and in the files in the Samba 4, there are only, 300 lines of code, no more. Only the socket, the endpoint initialization, the socket creation is different.
And finally, with your RPC int handling, is that the same behavior as is currently seen with doing the pull and push of all the structures? Are we doing that at the moment, or is that new?
In the end, it does almost the same as the old API struct function calls implementation. It calls the NDRT table pool,
yeah.
Then dispatch this particle and calls the NDR push. In the end, it's like the API struct call, but auto-generated into the new compact server stub to drop the old implementation.
Okay. So each time we make an RPC call, we're going to be doing an extra pull and push of the data involved.
Mm. Sorry, okay. Can you repeat?
So if in an S3 RPC server,
mm-hmm.
A call will come in from the client with potentially quite a large amount of data, say a print job. We're going to unpack that data at one layer. We're mm-hmm. going to repack yeah. that data, and then we're going to unpack yeah. that data again on the other side.
It does the same because the compact server PDL, what does is to generate the same dispatch and the same repli as the normal dispatching and the normal repli. So NDR print is also called there.
Mm. So that's going to be done for every S3 RPC service? So the compat is used for every Source 3 RPC service? Am I understanding how widely used it is?
Sorry?
Can you remind me exactly where the compat code, in what use case will we have the compat code being run?
For all the Samba 3 services. I mean, okay. in the end of them. In the end of the Samba 3 service implementation,
yeah.
we do the same as in the Samba 4 service implementation. We include the C file of the auto-generated code, but instead of the Samba 4, the compat one.
Okay.
So the functions are static to the file. It's just include at the end of the service implementation in Samba 3.
So this is to get around the problems of the different function call prototypes, the way ref variables and things are handled.
No, it's to follow the same pattern as Samba 4.
Okay. And just we're paying quite a high allocation cost to do that.
No.
No?
No, the problem with the local dispatching was the some service initialization that call mostly WinRef to initialize themselves, and they create an RPC int binding handle, and this was what was causing most of the trouble, the service initialization, because I took a look at the local dispatching in Samba 4, and it is using the iMessage in context to dispatch the call, yeah. and using the same would require much more work.
Okay, I'll need to look carefully at the costs that you're putting on the Source 3 RPC server side and understand that a bit better. But that's something I can do offline. Mets, you got any other thoughts on that?
Don't be too hard.
No, it's... first, thank you to work on that. I think it's a really great step in the right direction. My long-term plans would be a bit more radical, but it's good to have this intermediate step because I don't have the time to do all this. So it's really great to see that. Cool. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.